The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down from the mountain with the 12, and he stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and be glad on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the prophets in just the same way." The Gospel of the Lord. We read and reread the scriptures very frequently. We listen to the proclamation of the word here every Sunday, and for many of us, perhaps even every day. We read the Bible. And yet, as you go through a sequence of life and you share defining moments in your life, you will find when you read the scriptures, they will mean different things to you at different times in your life. And I have read Luke chapter 6 countless times over the years, and rereading it now in the last 2 weeks, it speaks to me in a manner I had not noticed as much before. Since I had 2 weeks to prepare for this Sunday, because Cambria spoke last week about Together in Mission, and we had a visiting priest here, a wonderful young man, to preach to us about Together in Mission. So I have thought about this and written my journals for 2 weeks on Luke chapter 6. It's called the Sermon on the Plain, and it's somewhat a parallel to Matthew chapter 5, that has the Sermon on the Mount. You'll remember chapter 5, Jesus goes up on the mountain, he sits down and he begins to teach, how blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the peacemakers. This is found in Matthew. And Matthew is important saying this because it's a Jewish gospel. And Matthew wants his followers to remember Mount Sinai because God always spoke on the mountain. On the other hand, Luke, a Gentile gospel, doesn't emphasize the mountain. It says he comes down from the mountain, he stands in the plain. Interestingly, it also says he stands in the plain, whereas Matthew, the rabbi always sat when he was teaching. In Matthew, he goes up onto the mountain, he sits down, and he begins to teach. Matthew is much longer. There are 107 verses in Matthew, and there are only 30 verses in Luke. So it's a much shorter sermon. Matthew has chapter 5, 6, and 7. Luke, just 30 verses. And yet, Luke has a very powerful message to give us. Now, it's a message about poverty. Blessed are you who are poor. Now, I've thought all about what this poverty means, what it meant then and what it might mean today. There's a poverty of conflict. There's a poverty of misunderstanding. Some homes are visited by an extraordinary poverty of division, misunderstanding, arguments, separation, strangers living in the same house, presuming to call it a home. You have a poverty of rejection, where people have had profound wounds because of judgment or rejection. We have the poverty of sin or failure, a certain emptiness and a certain confusion in our lives. And we have a poverty of fear. We're fearful. We're fearful of the future. We're fearful for our church. We're even fearful of God sometimes. That's a poverty. There's a certain bankruptcy of the soul when we encounter these measures of poverty, this human experience. And I began to wonder to myself, how are these experiences blessed? How can we say these are blessed experiences? When we read the Word of God, we must find ourselves in the Word. It's not distance from us. It's not an academic exercise. It's meant to somehow surround us. We're meant to find ourselves in the Word of God. So how do we find blessing in these expressions and experiences of poverty? I began to go back and reflect over my life and the countless times in which I knelt before a confessor priest and confessed my sins, all the brokenness of my life, the discouragement of my life, the darkness of my life, to a patient and understanding priest confessor. And I discovered the infinite love of God. I discovered the healing forgiveness of God. I discovered a new experience of who the true God is, something that can only be discovered in a time of poverty and darkness and sin. And I was blessed. And the times when I was bewildered and confused about what's happening in the church, the times when we become discouraged about the scandals or the emptiness and the decomposition of certain parts of our church. And when I reflect on this, I am driven back to the Eucharist to make a declaration of my faith again that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, not the church, Jesus Christ. And I will discover Jesus Christ in a community called church, and I am driven back to the Eucharist and to the Word of God. And in that moment, I am blessed. And in my times of failure, many times of failure in my life, I wondered, how is it blessed? It blessed by a reminder not to make judgments about other people. That's what failure does. You begin to understand the failures of others. You begin to belong to the weakness of others, and the moment is blessed. And where I have experienced division and conflict and rejection, the judgment of others, the scandals of priesthood that cause every priest to be embarrassed and to be ashamed. When this happened to me, it spoke to me and said, exclude nobody. We are all broken disciples of Jesus Christ. So these times of darkness and times of emptiness are true experiences of poverty. They are moments of blessing, times of revelation. I belong to a prayer group of priests for more than 30 years. Seven of us priests meet every month for a day of prayer. Been doing that for more than 30 years. And in this safe place of our prayer gathering every month, we share the journey of life. It's a safe place. It's a place where we have common ground, the common ground of humanity, the common ground of striving to be more holy and more authentic in our lives and failing frequently, but the common bond of humanity, how to recognize humanity and to belong to humanity and find the experience holy. That's what you learn in the intimacy of a safe place of prayer. Joan Chittister, an extraordinary writer, in her marvelous book, Scarred by Struggle and Transformed by Hope, she makes a statement that there is no life that is not visited by the poverty of emptiness and struggle. And in many ways, the measure of our faith will be somehow brought into focus, not in times of high ground, but in times of a desert experience, times of poverty. That's when our faith must be renewed, and that's when our faith comes alive. In our culture, in our country here, we are very impressed by the rich and the famous, by those in entertainment and those in fashion or those people in athletics and whatever. They tell us how we should dress, how we should look. They define what's fashionable today. And we are all slaves to it in some way. They're impressive, but they're not inspiring. Yes, impressive. And they dictate so much of our culture. But they don't feed the soul. They're not inspiring. And I wondered, who is inspiring in my life? Who has touched my life? Who has spoken a gospel of inspiration to me? The people who are struggling. I've been inspired by a parent who loses a child. I have been inspired by the faith of people who are suffering from severe grave illness, people who are dying, and the extraordinary faith they have inspire me. I have been inspired by the sacrifices that married couples make for one another, that parents make for their children, sometimes by the children's sacrifice for their parents. I had wondered, I was writing a journal last night, the quiet of the night in my chapel there, and I wondered, have you ever had an experience in your life where you prayed fervently for something, I mean something very important in your life, and you yearned to it, you did a novena for this, You asked your friends to pray for it because it was important for you. It somehow appeared to be something that was defining in your life. And you yearned for this. I thought about all the people down on the border. Whatever you think about the border and all that, that's not the point. Would you ever think about walking 1,000 miles and more, sacrificing, yearning, hoping, walking into an uncertain and unknown world? What moves you to do this? What energy, what hope, what dream, what prayer do you have? And I thought to myself, whatever people think, and there's a variation of opinion, it's inspiring that people would make so much sacrifice, would walk so far, and dream so greatly. It's not impressive. It's inspiring. I thought that. Wow. The things you have prayed for in your life, the things you hope for in your life, and you had dreams that would make life worth living. And now, touch the flesh and the blood of somebody yearning for a new life, whatever your opinion. It's inspiring. So when you look at this gospel and you reflect on it, and you pray over it, you will find that the true God will appear to you in the poverty experiences of your life. You will not meet your God on high ground. You will meet your God in the desert. You will encounter the true God in your moments of challenge, your discouragement, your struggles in your life, the uncertainties of your life, the failures of your life. Oh, to meet a God who is infinitely loving, understanding, and embracing of all people. I began to write in my journal about people in the church that would inspire me. I thought about people that are told they're not welcome, they don't fit, they are excluded somehow. Could be people in second or third marriages, or LGBT people who are told you're morally disordered and there isn't a place for you in this community, and how they still belong, how they still come among us and teach us about courage and faith and endurance. That's not impressive, my friends. That's inspiring. So think about the people in your life. Not the rich and the famous. Not the people in the magazines. Not the people that tell you how to dress and what you should look like. Not those people. Think about the simplicity, the down-to-earth reality of a life visited by the poverty spoken about in the gospel. And in that moment, God appears. And God blesses us. And that's why blessed are those you who are poor. Amen.